Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey. Today's episode is an interview episode with Jeff Jones from Hourglass Escapes in Seattle over in the US. Now, we had a fantastic time experiencing their Evil Dead 2 game. Of course, we did it online over Zoom and it was an absolute blast. It was myself and Hannah and we teamed up with UK Haunters Dan and Jess. So I've got Dan on this episode of Scare Track as well. It was myself and Dan conducting this interview with Jeff. Now, Jeff was basically the fifth member of our team. He was the guy actually in the room, pulling the knobs, putting in the key codes, doing all that for us. We would give him instructions, and he was basically our avatar, our fifth member of the team. And although we had a fantastic time in the room, virtually, of course, it all looked good, it sounded great, it was actually a really, really awesome escape game. But what made it even more exciting and even more fun, and it came up multiple times in our review episode, which you can check on the Scare Track podcast feed, was Jeff. Jeff really did make it a memorable experience. He was joining in on our jokes, making gags himself. He sort of hinted us in the right direction subtly here and there when we were struggling. He really did make the whole experience one to remember, and one to make me say to you guys, go and do it. It's only Jeff and Seth, his boss, that do this escape room, so you know you are in good hands. Get online, book it now, guys. Honestly, it was so cool, it was so fun. Listen to our review episode. There's a very, very, very small amount of spoilers in there, so you wouldn't be able to, you know, cheat by listening to it. But it was a really cool time. We really enjoyed it, and that's why we were really excited to chat to Jeff all about escape rooms and how he sort of got in the industry as well. So without any further ado, it's myself and Dan interviewing Jeff Jones from Hourglass Escapes.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Right then, guys, welcome back to this episode of Scare Track. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan for this interview today, and we are joined by Jeff Jones from Hourglass Escapes. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well out here in Seattle. We're a little cold today, but hey, what are you going to do? It's winter.
I was going to say, it's not long till Christmas now either, so we can forgive just that little bit of cold. But luckily, when you're in the escape room, I'm guessing it's nice and toasty in there for you.
Yeah, the manager actually likes to keep it a little too warm, so you guys, it doesn't come across when I'm playing it. But man, I'm like drenching in sweat if I do back-to-back rooms. It's just like, you know, I end up, like I said, I think one of the lines is I'm getting my 10,000 steps in because I'm going back and forth so much. And yeah, man, that.
Yeah, especially when you have Urslot telling you to go from room one to room two to room one to room two. But we don't want to give too many spoilers away. And I know you listened to our sort of review episode as well, where we were trying to keep it spoiler free if possible. But to all those listeners at home, yeah, well, we're chatting to Jeff from Hourglass Escapes. Now, if you go to their website now, hourglassescapes.com, you can actually support them by booking an escape for yourself or shopping for a gift as well. 3 to 6 players, perfect for everyone, especially over, you know, over Christmas into the new year, wanting to do different sort of things, especially online because of this whole weird COVID scenario that we're all living through. And we can obviously discuss that a little bit later with you, Jeff, and how that's changed the way you guys run things. But for people, you know, support the industry that we all know and love, support escape rooms, and you can do that now at hourglassescapes.com.
If you're booking an escape room, remember from England, remember they're Seattle, they're 8 hours behind. So don't be booking one for 8 in the evening and then coming at 8 in the evening getting pissed because they're all in bed or not there.
Yeah. Get your times right, definitely. But that's a win-win situation. Me and Dan, we've said this, you know, many times, how awesome it is for us to be able to not only do, you know, escape rooms here in the UK when they're open or do online escape rooms here, but the fact that we were able to do an Evil Dead 2 escape room over in the States. Jeff, have you had many people from overseas doing your online games at the minute?
Yeah, we're actually getting a big push internationally. I've done teams from Japan, Italy, Spain.
Wow.
Oddly enough, you were the first team I had a translation problem with. Go figure. The team that speaks English, I couldn't understand what the hell a black unit was. And I was like, what is she talking about? But yeah, the international rooms are pretty fun. It's, you know, people, obviously, different cultures have different personalities, whether they speak up or not, or whether they're a little more timid or stuff. So, you just kind of deal with it. But yeah, we're getting a decent push, probably like about 20% maybe right now is international.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, well, that's still cool. That's cool. It means, like, hey, it's especially with the fact that it's Evil Dead 2 as well, which is a very big IP that lots of people around the world will, you know, love the film, love the franchise. The fact that, you know, they're able to play it literally from their own living room is pretty cool. And I know you obviously play it daily. The fact that it's different people each time, does that kind of make it fresh for you?
I think the thing maybe Dan alluded in your previous podcast that makes it fresh for me is, like, I get to freaking work in the Evil Dead room. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Like,
that's pretty cool.
It's just like, I know it's a weird dream to be in a horror movie and be in the Evil Dead room, but like, oh my God, this is like a fantasy. So it's like, it doesn't bore me at all because I'm like, I love taking people through it and just hearing, you know, that you can hear in their backgrounds when they see something or recognize or little Easter eggs from the movie. And it's just, I mean, I love it. It's just fun for me. I can definitely tell when people are enjoying the room and the game. So, you know, I haven't been bored yet.
And I suppose it's like, we all have that one film. Mine's is Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which I love showing people. And if I showed 10 people a day, I wouldn't get bored of it. It's that same sort of thing. If you love it and you love showing people it, it just doesn't get boring.
Wouldn't that make a great escape room? Like, if you didn't finish, that you turned them into cotton candy or something weird, like you just sprayed them or something.
Don't give him crazy ideas. Okay. He'll be calling me next week. We need to do this. We need to make this.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space escape room. Oh, right. Who has the code numbers? We have them on Facebook. We need to bug them. Someone needs to do this. We need to license it.
That's the plan tomorrow.
I mean, that would be a killer room, literally.
Quite literally.
Do you know, I do it like the inside of a spaceship. Oh, my God, it's coming together.
Right, well, before we move on to a brainstorm of Killer Clowns on a spaceship, and I guess we're going to have to pay you some loyalties now, Jeff, because you know, came up with that idea, along with Dan as well.
This episode, if it's $1 million idea, maybe this episode doesn't get aired.
Maybe it doesn't go out.
If you guys get this set up, I'll move over there and work the room for you.
Perfect. Perfect. This is a whole business plan just set up, isn't it? Definitely. Jeff, have you been there only since we've been in a COVID world and things have had to be a little bit different? Or were you working at Hourglass Escapes beforehand in a quote-unquote normal kind of world?
So my friend who lives in Amsterdam, he was visiting here last December. And we just went in the room on our own because, you know, we liked Evil Dead. And we did the room live in-house. And cool. I jokingly said to the guy, oh man, if you ever have an opening, I'd love to work here. And literally in January, I started working at the room. He's like, oh, yeah, we need somebody. Somebody just left. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I started training, and we were, you know, gearing up. I was doing a few rooms, and then COVID hit in March, and we got shut down. You can't go in the building. Then a few weeks later, you can go in the building. And that just, it really killed the business. And then the owner, Seth Wolfson, he was working with a group of escape room owners from around the country, and they came up with these ideas of putting it online. I don't know how many you played. There's some good ones. There's some bad ones, maybe. Yeah. Maybe not bad. Just maybe not done as good as they could be, I would say.
Definitely.
And so we started with this idea of having the avatar and having you run through it. And Seth, he has his character. He plays as Shemp. Which are you guys familiar with the Shemp story of the Evil Dead?
Dan chance, probably is more so than me. Dan's like an encyclopedia. Whereas I watch it through my through my fingers.
Well, I'll just summarize it real quick. But so they had a bunch of extras, and anybody who was in the movie was just their hand or their leg or their back of their head or they exploded or something. They're all listed as Shemps.
Right. And
if you go to like the IMDb page for Evil Dead 2, you'll see like 20 Shemps.
Okay.
They're just people who played extras. It's kind of an homage to the Three Stooges, but that's how now in Hollywood, people who are like just extras like that, they're called Shemps.
Right. Okay.
Behind the scene. So it's kind of cool. So he plays Shemp, definitely a different character. I'm Jeff, the assistant to the assistant manager.
Yeah.
But we did find out that right away, you have to be able to interact with people, and there's certain people are good at it and certain people aren't. So like, it's his baby, this room, and I'm the only other person he lets run it online.
Right, I see.
Because he's just like, okay, I don't want to some guys from the UK who are, you know, coming to do the room. I don't want to get a bad experience because I have an employee who's kind of like lackluster, yeah, or maybe they're not quick on the uptake or something like that. So, I have another full-time job I was working at the time, and then I had this pivot, and this is like sort of like an acting job. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this. So it's been fun, but COVID is definitely, business just drops substantially. Definitely.
I mean, it was the same here in the UK. It seemed like, the whole world's gone mad, hasn't it, through COVID, and it's the things that have changed from March to now just seems like a horror movie in itself. The fact that me and Dan have discussed it a number of times on how haunt owners or escape room owners, they've been managed to make things so innovative and change things up so that we are, you know, controlling you and you're there and you're this character and you're sort of running the game for us. I think when me and Dan were chatting, we both agreed that element of the game as well, although it would be awesome to be there and to turn the knobs ourselves and to, you know, try and see if that green light switches on and off the way I want it to. But it's also cool to have someone like you there who's basically enjoying it with us and finding things out with us. Was it quite difficult to sort of think, right, I've got to pretend that I kind of know nothing? Because you are, in essence, just, you know, you're playing the acting role. You're there to sort of entertain as well as do things for us. Do you have to sort of get in that frame of mind of thinking, right, technically, I need to think that I'm doing this for the very first time?
I've worked with a lot of idiots, to be honest with you. And I kind of just go, I kind of emulate a lot of stupid coworkers that I previously had in my past jobs. I'm like, what would a dumb person do right now? Oh, go right, go left, do this. No, it's like, I just literally turn off my brain and just kind of go with the flow. And just like, that's why I am pretty much experiencing it for the first time when I'm there. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I haven't ever seen this before. Does the lamp actually do anything? Let's check it out.
Let's find out. Let's see if the lamp does do anything.
See, that's what I quite like, because I've done online escape rooms where the person's like been a robot and they've said, that number doesn't work. And you've got to give instructions. I quite like the way you are a character and you're kind of quite cuttingly sarcastic, like, well, I know the lamp might do something. I don't think it does, but I'll try if you really want to. There's a lot of humor involved.
Yeah.
which added a lot to it.
And then, just to add insult to injury, I went to the other lamp to see if that... Hey, we might as well check both lamps while I'm here.
I'll tell you what, one day a lamp's going to do something, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have it as part of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space room.
100%.
Some kind of ray gun lamp or something, you know?
Definitely, definitely. Full of ideas. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you guys have been able to... change it up for COVID. Again, we're very, very lucky that we've been able to experience this as well, being overseas. And like you say, you got 20% of your clientele at the minute from overseas internationally. Let's talk about it. I know it might be slightly a little bit difficult because you only really started just before COVID kicked in as such. But when it comes to escape rooms, me and Dan were chatting before this, and Dan came up with a corker of a question.
Like, do you sort of think, I don't know how you wrap your head around this, because haunts, I get your head around, you start the beginning, you walk out. Do you have, like, an end goal and then work backwards? Or do you just have these, wouldn't it be cool if this did this, and then you figure out how to work it in? Is it mind mapping, or is it just throwing ideas at the board and see what sticks?
Yeah. So right before, back in January, we were going to do the Arkham Horror board game, Escape Room.
Oh,
we were
gonna get... God, that nasty machine.
So we were just starting the work on that, and we're coming up with puzzle ideas, like what should you do? Because we were going to, we're licensing it through Lovecraft, who, I don't know if you watched the recent series Lovecraft Country or something, but there's a lot of racial elements there, and you could only license certain characters. Like, okay, you can be this black guy who's a jazz musician, and it's like, what, does he have to be a heroin jazz musician? It's like, so we're like, oh, how can we be not racist with this Lovecraft story licensed through them? So you're coming up with everyone's kind of just like throwing out ideas. Oh, this would be a cool puzzle. There was one where there was like this, there's this liquid metal, and you could basically have it move around outside the glass with different magnets that could get to be formed to certain shapes and clues and stuff. And we're just all like coming up with ideas, and you know, some are crazy, some budget wise you can't do, you know, oh, it'd be so good if, you know, they could drop through the roof and something, you know, but it's not going to happen. And then I'm always the downer, like, how would this work if you were in a wheelchair? And they're like, oh, good point. Can't do that.
Yeah. You're the voice of reason.
You got to account for that, because you want everybody to be able to enjoy the room. Like, one of the things, like Evil Dead, there's nothing really high up. There's in when we used to have people who played, which hopefully someday they'll come back. But we specifically say, look, if you're reaching, you know, above 5 feet, it's too high. It's not part of the game. There's nothing that high that you have to get to. Now, there might be something you have to look at, which there was, you know, a crazy deer. But other than that, yeah. So we're just trying to. Everyone comes up with ideas. How could we do this? Well, let's see. Like the, for instance, we have a. Not to give too much away, but there's a mirror that's a very crucial part, and there are some things that happen inside the mirror. So it's like, okay, so how can we film this projected onto this? And so there's a lot of technical work behind, and then like what's feasible and what's not, which the owner, Seth, he's a background working in behind the scenes Hollywood with makeup and doing, he has a lot of special effects knowledge. So, and then it's just like everyone contributes something. Like, we'll bring in, you know, people who play the game. Like, oh, what's a key point that you totally need that would stand out to make it relatable to all the Arkham board game fans? Yeah. You know, so just a lot of meetings, a lot of craziness, and then COVID that died.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but then we got Evil Dead 2, so it's cool.
So the Arkham one, do you say it's based on the Arkham Horror board game or the TV series?
The board game. There's a board game.
Oh, I know there's a board game. That board game has eaten and chewed me up many a time.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it would have been perfect because coincidentally, the HBO series came out this year. It would have been a phenomenal promotional tie-in. But we just, I mean, pretty much in March, our governor said everyone's locked down. So that, and we didn't have the online version up yet. So we had no, we weren't even able to get customers for 2+ months. It's like, wow. How do you pay rent? How do you, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. And so like any budget for research and development went to like food.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course.
We'll have to eat. Yeah. So it's just, hopefully maybe 2021 that comes back around. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Fingers crossed, man. I'm touching wood. And obviously we're not just talking about, any start of escape room here, you know, you can create your own themes, your own stories and things like that. But we're talking about, you know, IPs with Arkham and Evil Dead as well. How does that sort of go about? Do you guys with Hourglass Escape sort of reach out to a company that sort of own the rights to these IPs, or is it a bit of a working relationship between the two? How does that work?
So that happened a little bit before I got there, right. But basically the story I got is, Seth reached out to somebody who put him in connection with Studio Canal, mm-hmm. who they have the rights to the Evil Dead 2 franchise, sweet, I guess, sweet. Or just that movie, maybe, I'm not sure. But, I think just asking like, hey, we're going to do this. We want to, you know, get your blessing. And they're like, okay, we're going to license it. This is a fee, obviously, we had to pay, but they also have to approve it. And they came there, they did a walkthrough, they wanted to see that, okay, this isn't going to be some shoddy representation, you know, because, I mean, it's a revered franchise. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to do a half-assed attempt and, like, everyone's like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrible. So, but also helped because then they have, okay, hey, this is the chainsaw we use, this is the recorder. There was a lot of things that are like exact things from the movie, and you're like, oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah, 100%.
I learned a lesson a long time ago because, man, it's weird that most people don't abide by it or something. Like, just ask.
Yeah. You don't ask, you don't get.
No, I mean, yeah. So like, oh man, what did it take? I asked them. oh, yeah.
And they said yes.
Yeah, they said yeah, and then the dominoes start to fall. But unless you try or ask, you don't know. So luckily Seth did all the legwork before I got there, and now I play dumb and run people through the
scammer. Sounds perfect. Sounds good to me, definitely. And a good job you did as well, buddy. I'm not just saying this because you're on here, but we thoroughly enjoyed the game. Now, a bit of background of me and Hannah, who run ScareTrack with me. We're very heavy when it comes to haunts and scare attractions. You know, that's what we do. We've done hundreds and hundreds, and we sort of dissect those and whatnot. But when it comes to escape rooms, that's the only time that our marriage become slightly fractured, because we argue about what we're going to do next. Anything else in life, we're fine. But when it comes to escape rooms, although we still love each other and at the end of it we laugh about it, it's one of those things that we haven't got into as heavy, purely because we're like, look, if we do this escape room, you better not argue with me. And throughout this, I think it was because we had the help of Dan and Jess from UK Haunters as well, who I think probably figured out 80% of it compared to our 20%. but also as well, you were there, you were able to, like I say, if there was anything that we weren't quite sure on, although you weren't give a clue as such, you would go, well, how about these? Maybe these do something. Is it tough to, because there's lots of layers to this game, again, without giving anything away, and you know, there's lots of layers to multiple escape rooms. Is it tough to remember absolutely everything? You know, it's a 70-minute escape room. It took us, I think, 64 minutes. How tough is it to remember absolutely everything within the escape room?
As far as codes or numbers or what do you like?
Yeah, just like, I mean, like if. I mean, if we're completely stumped and we're like, right, we are stuck now, and you've got to potentially point the camera in a direction of somewhere, or maybe you could say to people, if they were there in person, you go, maybe try the keyboard, or, you know, just giving a few examples. Your brain must have just a locked section of, like, right, Evil Dead 2 stuff is all locked in here. You remember every code, you remember this, you remember this light does this, you remember this, you remember, you know, when we go online and we have like our, we can go on and check out that we've got this new map or we got this. How do you remember it all, man?
I mean, over time, you must just know it off by heart because you've done it. But at the beginning, for the first few rooms, did you have like a little checkbook where you could like look through the book off camera and go, oh, well, that's where that is?
Yeah, so the first couple of times I didn't run with actual paying customers. I got like, hey, my buddies, like, hey, we're gonna run you through for free just so I can. I'm gonna mess up because you know I'm working. I'm trying to figure this out. I have a little cheat sheet to get the codes that I'm reading. Like, there's also a few puzzles, like there's a little bit of a lag because I'm actually triggering it from a wrist. Computer that I have to click to get it to open, and
right.
If you're in the room, usually the game master's in another room and they're working the control board. So I'm literally got this little mini control board on there. But yeah, the first couple of times we ran with people who were like guinea pigs, and I just worked out my details. You know, it's like it's like an actor. So I learned the script, then I start to ad lib more. Now I'm just. I can play off people pretty good. And I like the other day they had two groups. One group was fun. We're working blue. I mean, at some point we were going to open a fans only account. It was just like crazy. And then the other group was just so straightforward. And they're like, there was no laughter. They were like, they did it super fast. They had 21 minutes left. So they did it in like,
wow.
Yeah, they did it. It was ridiculous. But they were the worst group I've ever ran through. They were just like, no emotion, you know, very robotic, do this, do this. I mean, they were, I don't know, maybe it's just how their brain worked, but they all seemed, they didn't, there were six of them, which I don't really like to work with that big of a group because, you know, some people will get, they're just not participate because personnel is like some will dominate. You'll get some, you know, people will rise up and keep saying stuff and like, well, let somebody else have a chance.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, of course. And that's lots of people to hear as well, especially when it's online and there's, you know, three different areas and three different people online and there could be lag and there could be people get it especially with you also, like I say, having to remember everything, having that cheat sheet, having the little computer to set things off. You must be like a walking, talking one-man band in that room when it comes to everything all together.
Oh yeah. And then there's people like, hey, lay on the floor and stick your hand over here, like, oh, now I gotta get down there, I got this head on my head, I got a camera on my chest, and I'm trying to lay down here, and I'm like, oh man. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. I don't exactly know what I do, but it's just like, yeah, you're the only other person I'm going to ever let run this. So I'm like, okay. But apparently, I guess I do it pretty good because people seem to like it. A lot of people are like, we're going to tell your manager to promote you to just assistant manager. I'm like, okay. I don't want to break their heart. Like, you know, it's not real.
The assistant to the assistant manager is not good enough. He needs to be assistant.
Yes, he should be assistant manager for sure.
But people, I actually thought that was real.
People actually think I'm a real person. Like, that's not a character. But I don't want to break their heart. But I'm like, okay.
Work with it. Definitely work with it. And you mentioned earlier on as well that you kind of got this gig because you visited yourself with your friend from Amsterdam. Are you a fan of this? I mean, you kind of got to be a fan of what you do in certain respects anyway. You know, that's how people get happiness to a certain extent within their careers, within their jobs. But are you quite a fan of escape rooms before you did this as well? That's why you went to check out the game. Or were you more of an Evil Dead fan, which is why you checked out the game over the escape room side of it?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are you a fan of haunts as well?
More so because we have a... If you ever get to Seattle around Halloween, which I'm sure you won't because you have plenty of stuff there, we have some killer haunted houses in Seattle. There's a old morgue that they convert. It's like the number one Seattle haunted house. I try to go every year. It's awesome.
Nice.
But it turns out the Evil Dead was the first escape room I ever did.
Right, okay.
So my buddy who moved to Amsterdam a few years back, we used to work together, and we would get off work or leave work early, sort of go drinking at his place because he lived like two blocks away. And man, we just for like 2 years we watched so many horror movies, mostly the zombie franchises, because the great thing about that, like, you're drinking, you're telling stories, there's no plot. You're like, what happened? They're still running from zombies? Okay, you're caught up.
Yeah, cool.
There doesn't have to be any filler. You know they're still running from zombies. Maybe somebody died. How did they die? You know they got killed by a zombie. It's like there's... So we had 2 years of mindless inebriation watching horror films and zombie movies, and we went into The Evil Dead just because of, like, we were sort of like, oh, remember our drinking glory days? It was just kind of a fun thing. And a year later, I'm still there.
Winner. That's cool, man. That's a cool way to get into it, though, isn't it? It's not like, you know, you could have had a really, really boring story that was just like, I just handed out my CVs and it was the only place that, you know, that wanted me. Or it's between that and working in telesales, so I went for that. But no, that's a cool story. It's the fact that you got pissed up for a few years watching some horror films, thought, hey, let's go and check out Evil Dead room. And hey-ho, new job, winner.
I mean, it is like one of those fantasy stories of how you get discovered, except that I work, you know, one day a week for a few hours because the governor won't let anybody open. So, I mean, it'd be nice if there was a payoff at the end, but I don't see that happening in the future, especially not to get too political, but we're having like 3,000 deaths a day now here in the United States, which is just like, ugh. Come on, vaccine.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. It is getting pretty grim. We've always... it was a weird year for us here, without trying to get too self-indulgent and whatnot, but with ScareTrack, we go and check out, obviously, haunts and escape rooms, things like that, and we were lucky that a few were able to open this year, nowhere near as many as usual. But you can't ignore that massive massive elephant in the room, can you? The fact that, shit, COVID is a thing, it's a big thing. It's affecting people's livelihoods, it's affecting people's lives. So we're just lucky that we've managed to, one, touch wood, stay safe, and be able to sort of entertain ourselves in other ways, i.e., you know, online escape rooms and stuff. And here...
Are you sure it's not like pop-up pirate? Because I've seen your videos. You're a pen screen player.
That pop-up... You know what? Pop-up pirate's a scary game. I don't care who disagrees with me. As a grown adult, after having one too many drinks playing pop-up pirate, everyone's going to squeal. It might have just been me. But, yeah, and that's probably as far as my intelligence goes when it comes to games. That's why we had to get Dan and Jess from UK Haunters to do the escape room with us, because as far as I go, it's just putting little swords into a plastic barrel, hoping that the pirate doesn't pop up.
Yeah, you know, I would say... People ask, like, oh, what, you know, what percentage finish it? But, like, I'm in the mindset where, so, like, no one's never not finished the room when I'm the game master, online and in person. Because, like, I can tell time-wise, and I can give them hints. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about the room, too, is you don't have to solve puzzles in order. There's not, like,
yes,
you have to solve this one to get to the next one. So you can, there's some people who went into the next room before solving anything in the main cabin room. For instance, I'm going to hose my friend here. I'm making him listen to this. But one of the things we said when in person is like, hey, you know, if you anything with words on it, read it. It's important. It's probably saying something. So the first thing he did, and he got in the room, is he picked up this, you know, how to do feng shui. And he just chuffed it on the floor. And then 30 minutes later, I'm like, hey, you know that thing you threw on the floor? Maybe you should reread that.
Give it a look.
Yeah. But I'm of the mindset where, you know, if, you know, some of the, like, strict people, oh, no clues and all this, but then I don't necessarily give clues unless you're, you know, really, really struggling. Yeah. But I'll give you hints. It's like, hey, maybe you should just revisit that. Yeah. That doesn't, yeah. I don't feel like that's a clue, but I make sure time-wise, because I kind of know how long it's going to take for the end game to happen, mm-hmm. that, okay, we got to at least be at this point with 20 minutes left. So I'll get you there. And I feel kind of that's another one of my jobs, too, is like, I'm also watching the clock and knowing maybe when to nudge a little more.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we said as well. A few things you said, though, is we sort of discussed on the episode and after off air, is the fact that one thing I did love is the fact that it wasn't do number one, then number two, then number three. That you could literally do any part of that game in any order to a point in what you wanted. It had more layers. It made feel more free. And we, although that, you know, I don't want to give the game away, but the ending is pretty cool. And we all quite enjoyed that ending. But we don't always necessarily want to win the game as long as you've had a bloody good time.
That's my thing of it. It's like that game I did called Zombie Escape. Yeah. We failed miserably, but it was so much fun. I didn't care. It was just so much fun. That's what I'm there for. I'm there to have a laugh. Winning's a bonus.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's nothing to give away here, but to me, Evil Dead has to have a chainsaw.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if you don't get that, I don't feel like you're redeemed. Like, as long as you get to that, but again, that's towards a certain stage. I'm not trying to get too much away, but I want you to get to the damn chainsaw. So, you know, I'm trying to, because, like, everyone who sees that goes, F yeah, you know. And if you're in the room, we take like action shots. We'll have a group, like one person will have a chainsaw cutting off another person's head, another person has a dagger, and we let you do like shots in the room and then we'll send them to you.
Oh, nice.
And that's so much funner than, well, I guess you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of me. I don't know what you know. I mean, to me, they could, if they were serious gamers and they're like, look, we don't care, or we want it hard, so we're not going to escape. I'll listen to that and take that into account. Mm-hmm. And I'll pressure him. I won't nudge him until the time is running now. Yeah. But I want you to get there, and I'm going to, you know, without giving anything away, I'm going to help you figure it out in your head. You probably believe you solved everything. And then you're like, wait a minute, maybe he was telling us this. I don't want to be part of the game. I want you to figure it out, but I definitely want you to get to the
end. And you want us to have a good time, get our money's worth, all that sort of thing. It's all about consumer satisfaction and enjoyment, really, isn't it? And so it's a win-win situation.
It's not even that. It's the fanboy in me. I think out of all the escape rooms I've done, Evil Dead is the one I'd actually want to complete because I want to relive the film. It's like going through Halloween Horror Nights Haunt. I want to get through to the end. I want to kill the book. I want to escape. I think these ones are different. You kind of want to win these ones because it's reliving the fantasy of going through the film, where most other escape rooms is like, find this antidote. You didn't find the antidote. Well, who cares? I found it. I didn't. There's no payoff. This room has such a payoff. You really want to get to those points.
Yeah, that's, I can't let it go. I mean, the payoff, the chainsaw, the ending, you've got to experience that. That's why you're in the Evil Dead room. So yeah, to me, I'm like, we're going to get there, buddy. But come hell or high water, or a pint of tequila, whatever we're drinking, definitely. We're getting
it. And it, like Dan said, it is such a payoff. And I feel that this escape room, like I say, I've done half a dozen now, and they're always got the payoff of yes, we've got that door open, or yes, we've managed to save the treasure or whatever. But yeah, the ending of this was, even for me, who, and I know bits and bobs of the franchise, but I don't know it as well as Dan and Hannah and Jess did, you still, like I say, got that mega payoff. And who doesn't love chainsaws? Like, we talk haunts 24/7. Who doesn't love a good chainsaw?
That's the best part. And it's the actual chainsaw. It's not like just we went out and bought a Husqvarna chainsaw at the Home Depot. That's the actual brand, the actual model chainsaw from the movie. Huh. And you're like, people recognize it. You're like, there's actually you weren't there, and I probably didn't give a good close up of it, but it actually has the place to put in your arm. It's got the straps. So, like, if you had a nub, you could attach it to your arm.
You could do it.
Yeah, it's set up just like the movie. So, I mean, yeah. I just, to me, again, if you're playing it, you're probably somebody in that group, is a fan. And yeah, the payoff, we're going to get there. Because they're going to remember that part.
Definitely. It's made me want to, like I said, I've seen bits and bobs. It's made me want to go and watch it so I can sort of get the Easter eggs backwards, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I can watch the film and go, ah, that was that bit. I remember you saying, Hannah, that was because of that and things like that. But also, in the same way, is that, and you said this at the beginning of the Zoom chat, Jeff, is that if I had no idea about the franchise, about the movie, you can still do this game and you'll still enjoy this game. So it's universal for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still at the bottom, or at the end of the day, you know, it's an escape room.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be themed Evil Dead 2. But the puzzles are still, you still solve them just like another escape room. It could be, you know, pick any other theme except for Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because we now own the rights to that.
Yes, we do.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, so there's people who do escape rooms that they've never seen the movie at all either. And they're just, yeah, they're doing it, and they're putting the puzzles, and you can tell movie people, escape room people, and even newbies. You can definitely pick up on, you know, those personalities and what they see. And then, so then again, that's part of like, okay, now I got to play along with that too. You know, it's like people who've seen the movie, I might focus more on, let's just say, like there's a music box that pops up and something references the movie. Mm-hmm. I might hold that shot a little longer, do a zoom, because it's, oh, people who know the movie, like, holy shit, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So, yeah, but if they don't care, then it's just like, okay, well, unlock, oh, next, let's see, keep going, what are we doing? You know, because they're not going to have the same reaction. So
it's knowing your audience to a point as well, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no script. I don't have any lines I have written down. So everything's just we're wheeling off the top of my head. So the only thing I have is there's a couple, I have to remember a few words to say, like, oh, like, are they going to do this chant? And okay, oh, they want to see, like, for instance, I'll send you some stuff that you could manipulate in a different window while you're solving some puzzles, right? So I have to remember some keywords to say, oh, if you type in this, you'll get that picture to come up. But that's it. Everything else is just me winging.
Yeah, which is cool, and it works well, man. Definitely, definitely. Just adds that, like I say, that layer of authenticity, the layer of you sort of being just sort of like, there was four of us, me, Hannah, Dan and Jess, you were just like the fifth person solving it with us, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's what I'm trying to be. I mean, yeah, my presence is there, but I'm not to distract you from the room itself.
Definitely,
you should. And I mean, that's what I think I'm doing in my head.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. You should definitely be promoted to assistant manager, not just the assistant to the assistant manager.
I'll tell Seth.
Yeah, tell Seth, man. Definitely. So I mean, before we sort of what we've been doing, 40 minutes now, awesome. Before we sort of wrap this up, again, I just want to let everyone who's listening now head over to hourglassescapes.com. Obviously, when COVID's over, if you are over in the States, if you're living in that area, go and check it out in person. I can just imagine how awesome it looks in person. But you can also get gift cards, you can book an escape room now for all the online stuff as well. There's two other escape rooms as well, check those out. But before we let you go, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about you as well. Like you say, you're mega into your horror movies, you're into haunts as well. Have you always enjoyed sort of the darker things, the horror things?
You know, I'm a little bit older, so I grew up drive-ins in the 70s. My parents used to take us to, and they usually like have a kid feature, then like maybe a PG and an R. I grew up outside of Oakland, California, and I saw a lot of black exploitation movies. And
okay,
I swear the movie Blackula, as bad as it is a major influence on my life as a kid. That was a kick-ass vampire. I don't know if you've ever seen Blackula. I'm guessing not.
I haven't.
But oh. No.
Does it need to be added to the list, Blackula?
Be really drunk or stoned or both. It's a really bad movie. And you got to account for that. They have less than a budget for the whole movie than we probably did for the escape room.
Right. Okay.
But I mean, when I'm like, let's just say I'm 10 years old and watching that movie, and then my parents started taking us to horror movies and stuff like that. And then when I turned like 18, Alien came out, and holy shit, that was definitely a game changer.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. And I've just been fascinated with movies. I actually, we could talk on other things. I helped work on a script before. I used to be a gopher at Universal Studios.
Oh, sweet.
So I've kind of always been around the industry, just on the side, never fully committing, because it's like, man, it's so hard to pay bills when you're working for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, you know, I was an air traffic controller for a while. It's like, oh, well, that pays a lot better than the $6 an hour, you know, but then the $6 an hour, you're on a movie studio. So I could never fully commit. And I think this has allowed me to live out some of these fantasies I had about working in the movies or a studio. It's like, I still have my IT job, but now I get to do this. And it's like, it's kind of fulfilling, I guess, this thing I had inside me that maybe I've rediscovered.
Yeah, it's like the best of both worlds. Like you're still able to have an awesome time working in this sort of atmosphere, working with Evil Dead 2 and on that sort of thing, and Arkham if it comes around and whatnot. But you're still able to pay your rent, which is usually that's one of those that you kind of got to make sure you do, isn't it? So it's like I say, it's best of both worlds, really.
Okay, I have a question based on fantasies. An original.
Is this the fans only page? Because I can give you the link.
If you could make two escape rooms, an original one and an IP one, what would you pick?
Man, I'd like to tie to the franchise, just because there's legacies, there's dedicated fans. You'd be able to go to some of the Comic Cons and stuff. If you're an original one, yeah, that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with it, but your marketing is so much better. Like from Studio Canal, we get real stuff from them. Yeah. We get footage, we get screenshots. People book it just because it's Evil Dead.
Yeah, of course.
Like it's not like if we had, you know, fix the air conditioner escape room. But it's like, what the hell is that? But people actually search Evil Dead. There's Evil Dead chat. So like, I mean, I would love to have something like that where it's, I don't say underappreciated franchise, but it's definitely, you know, it's the C or D list of.
Okay, right. You know. Well then, apart from Killer Clowns Out of Space, which will become reality, what one would you pick? Budget's not being a problem, rights not being a problem. They said pick a franchise, make an escape room from anything you want. What would you go for?
What was the crazy one with like little Nazi puppets that the Puppet Masters?
Puppet Master.
Oh my God. Puppet Master would be a creepy effing one with a bunch of little animatronic puppets coming at you, chomping. Oh my God. That was Puppet Master, the escape room.
There we go. Yeah. We found our second room after Killer Clowns.
Would be up for that, man. Full Moon Studios would be up for that. They try. I think that's a winner. I think you should contact them. Ask them.
There we go.
I'll ride your guys' coattails. You got experience and you're in the industry already. I'm just a lonely guy trying to make his way to the universe, as they say. So let's do it, man. Contact the actors. I'm getting these meetings.
I even actually have 6 1.1 replicas of the Puppet Master puppets.
We're already there.
We've already got it planned out.
I'm telling you, that's another franchise. But see, that's what people know. They kind of love it. It's not the best. You don't love that movie because it's like a cinematic triumph, right? But there's a built-in fan base for that. You could easily go, if you were... Like, one of the things we do with the escape room, we have, like, mini travel versions. So we've taken it to, like, a museum local, or we could set up certain versions at work. If you had a version of an escape room that you could mobilize and you go around to different cities and set up your Puppet Master escape room, man, you would get a lot of people coming in.
That's a good one. So what would you, Dan?
Well, obviously, Killer Clowns Out of Space.
Well, okay, good point. Yeah, I mean, good point. Well, I think I'd have to go. I'd have to go Saw.
Oh, that's going for Papa Pirates. Okay, Saw.
Yeah. Papa Pirate. I think I'd have to go just for Saw, just because I'm a mega fan of that sort of franchise. I think
because I think that's a bigger, well established franchise, and they just did they relaunched it with Chris Rock this year, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out, and it was supposed to come out in May, wasn't it? And I'm still yet to bloody see it.
It's in the can. It's done. It's just that they haven't released any studio movies this year. Well, in the United States, I don't think they have. I don't know about.
We've had very, very countries. Few. Very few. Yeah, they've all been pushed to next year, which is.
Do you know what would make a good one? Five Nights at Freddy's: Your Escape Room.
That would work. From like the game.
That would be epic.
Yeah, and then it's also what's your budget? Like for me, Puppet Master, it's probably like they might pay you to do it. Plus, I know they got killer props they could loan. It's like puppets they don't use anymore. Imagine if you had the one with the flamethrower arm and it would just somehow not be able to hurt people, being behind the wall and just go, like, holy shit. That would scare them. That would be a great haunt escape room, man.
That would be awesome.
And that's what we need more of. That's what we love. Like, I mean, we love haunt. You know, Dan made a documentary on haunts. I've been visiting haunts for years because I love them so much, and I've acted in them and whatnot. And then escape rooms is sort of like a subgenre, but it doesn't have to be scary. But when the two meet, like Evil Dead 2, or like a few that I've done here in the UK, when haunt meet escape room, that sort of grey area in the middle, I think, is where the magic's made, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just, that's more layers.
I think they went a little bit overboard with some of the zombie ones, where they're like, he's chained to the wall, and every 30 minutes, like, the chain came out. Because that's like, come on, man, everyone's done that. Let's do something else more original. But, like, as much as I love a zombie franchise, I think the zombie escape room was played out a little bit.
See, I've not ever done a zombie escape room. Dan, you've done that Trapped in a Zoo with the zombie.
I did the one with the zombie chain against the wall, but then again, it was only the fourth one I've done. Fourth one?
Yeah.
Fifth one I've done. So it's quite new to me. I loved it. That was the one that was so much fun, but then I've never done it before, so it's quite new and original to me.
And I guess I know in the States, I mean, escape rooms now have their entire floor at Transworld, don't they? Like, they are a huge beast. And don't get me wrong, here in the UK, they are popping up left, right, and centre. But I think it's a case of, I don't want to say the words, like, slightly behind, but when we have our ScareCon, which is like the Europe Scare Convention here, although that's on a smaller basis, there's very little amount of escape room people there. So I just don't know if it's sort of pushed its way into the sort of haunt scene quite as much as it has in the States. I don't know if that, I can't speak for you guys over there, but I don't know if that's sort of the consensus that it's sort of going to, Jeff, with the fact that escape rooms now sort of take over an entire haunt room at Transworld and stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to step up your game. Like, just for King County, which I live, it's the Seattle metro area. There's, I'll just throw a number out, like 12 to 15 escape rooms. And even before COVID, we have an escape passport where you take this passport and you get it stamped at each different escape room. And then you get, you know, you build up and you get things, and there's so much you can get a discount if you go in every escape room. And it's shocking to me, like, having just kind of stumbled into this industry a year ago, like, oh, there's six, there's one, two blocks from me. There's another one four blocks from me. There's one like a 15-minute walk from me. It's like, holy shit, they are. They're everywhere. Well, they used to be. Everything's probably closed now. But, yeah, it's bigger out here, and I think it was really competitive right before COVID. So I think when it does bounce back, I think you're going to see some big build-outs that are going to be movie-time franchises or just things that are, you know, there's going to be like, there's obviously the Doctor Who ones will be out, and there'll be massive props from Doctor Who that you'll get, you know, the studio will be behind it.
That is one that I would do. I was chatting to Dan about Doctor Who before we went online on air, actually. Don't get me started on Doctor Who, because I'll I'll keep you here for hours. But they've actually done a few Doctor Who haunts here in the UK. It was years ago now, so I didn't get a chance to go to it. But I know that the people, well, the BBC that own the rights to Doctor Who, they're quite keen on doing sort of experiences with it. So yeah, the escape rooms have got to start popping up for that. And another question, just speaking of escape rooms and obviously COVID changing the way they've run and how it might change them in the future. I know you can't speak for the whole industry as such, but do you reckon that you guys and Seth, will you continue to do online stuff after COVID's finished? Or do you think it's been awesome for people like, you know, me and Dan being able to do stuff all around the world now. Is it something that's just for COVID, or do you think that's something that might continue on post COVID?
Well, let me start with the bad story and work to good. We actually had just the license for Evil Dead for the remote room. It expires the end of this year, so we've only got like 3 more weeks. We're trying to extend it, but that came into, you know, COVID. Everything started to do differently. Before, we had it licensed for, you know, the United States. Now all of a sudden we're running it in different countries. Like, oh, and then like, what does that mean? Do we have to have international licenses? Do we have to do this? So I think they gave us like a 6-month kind of a trial thing. It's really saved us. So hopefully we get that extended. And then if that's the case, I think in the future, every room will have that, because there's just so many people who, you know, this room is so killer, not to toot our own horn, but it's a shame that you have to be in Seattle to have it. And now that problem's been solved because of COVID. It's like you could be in any country almost any time. I mean, we'll even do early starts and stuff, or go later, just if you work it out with us. But like you guys, if it wasn't for COVID, you would have never had the chance to do this, because it was just
exactly
in person. And so, I mean, I don't know if looking at the rose-colored glasses, but at least that's one good thing about COVID. Now, a lot of these escape rooms, I think the continuously business model is going to be, we can do remote or in-house. In-house is always better, but if you're, 1,000 miles away, man, it's pretty damn good.
Definitely.
Well, that's one of the things I said, that I'll never take away all the hurt and damage COVID's done, but, there are upsides. It is, made stuff like this possible and made us sort of go, oh shit, we can do this now. Mm-hmm. And we will continue to do this once COVID's packed its crap in.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the other two rooms, their original content, so they'll stay up online because Seth owns those. But then I just hope that the Studio Canal, I don't know how fast they respond, or I'm not any part of the business end of this, but you just got to think. I mean, because we're still in lockdown in the United States, really.
Yeah.
And, like, how do they not renew us? How do they go, all right, your time's up?
Really? It'd be silly, wouldn't it? It would be silly.
Yeah, I mean, plus, they get paid if we continue, right? So it's like, we're going to refuse your money. We decided not to let you run it in the UK. Yeah,
it doesn't quite make sense.
Like, then I'm going to have to borrow your puppet master puppets to go set them loose on Studio Canal.
But no, we've said this a few times, me and Dan, that obviously there's some pretty shitty times come from COVID, but there's a couple of silver linings, things like online escape rooms. I thought something that I don't think's been done, it definitely hasn't been done here, you might be able to speak differently for the States, but every year Halloween Horror Nights will have their houses, and they'll let someone like Tim Tracker go through to do a POV of the house or something like that, which is cool. I'll watch the houses on YouTube. It's obviously not as impactful as if you're there in real life, but is it me or has no one made VR, like virtual reality, it's not escape rooms, but virtual reality haunts, like walkthroughs? I just think that, again, would be pretty cool. Me and Dana spoke about it. Like, if you can't get to Halloween Horror Nights this year, but if you send us $20, we'll send you every single haunt in virtual reality form. I don't know. I just thought that would be pretty cool as well.
It's probably coming. I don't know how widely accepted it is right now, because, you have to have a pretty substantial investment in equipment for the home user to have that, right? It's the future for sure. It's just, it probably hasn't sprung yet, because it's a big investment on our side to set it up and have it, you know, done that way and filmed, and
how so much, you know, more tech, and
so much more tech that we're, you know, going to have to learn. So until somebody does it who's got a big backing and can prove that, oh yeah, I'm making this model and I see how it works, is I'm now it's paid back, you know, tenfold what I put in. No one's gonna, like, we just can't invest something with at a gamble right now. It's just like,
of course. Especially right now, but,
yeah, but I mean, it's the future, but how soon is that future?
Exactly. And how, again, they can all be positives, but, you know, you wouldn't want it so, I mean, people in Seattle, at the minute, because of COVID, you can get them to jump online, do the Evil Dead room. But if they're there in a non-COVID world, you'd rather them not do it online and come in person, because you want them to get, you know, there's a concern that I have a feeling that some people might just start staying at home and just doing everything online, or everything through VR, or everything through their phone. It's going to be some weird Black Mirror sort of world, you know. We don't want to go too far in the future.
If having people doing it online, you wipe out the complete idiot's going to break something factor.
True.
Yeah, that is a risk we take with in-house, where there are some people, especially the later games, they might have come in, they had a few drinks to the restaurant. They're a little aggressive with some of the props, even though we tell them, hey, you know, this is still a prop, you know. The chainsaw's real, but like the dagger, that stuff's all been made. Those are molds that we poured. So, yeah, you do get some idiots in there who are a little aggressive, and that's part of the game master. You have to, like, hey, you know, knock it off. Next time that happens, you guys are done. You're out. Yeah. Whether, you know, you've solved it or not, their time's out. You know, that's it. So, yeah, I mean, I still like the in-house. I still like, especially when you're in that room and you see it, if you're an Evil Dead fan, and you can tell their faces and their change, and they start looking around. They're not even trying to solve stuff. They're just,
just enjoying it.
Yeah,
definitely. I think we'd be the same. And like I say, I'm not even as into the franchise as I should be. But, even if it was one of your homegrown attractions that wasn't an IP, I'm a sucker for theming, for lighting, for sound, for smells. Again, I think that's why I'm so into haunts, in the fact that it's sort of theatre just put into a different sector, really, isn't it? And that's what, again, I think that's why, Dan, you love haunts as well, because it's like you're also into your movies, and that sort of basically means you can sort of live through the movie in certain respects. Yeah. So. Awesome. Right, I think that brings us to the perfect end of the ScareTrack podcast. Before we go, guys, everyone listening right now, make sure you check out the Evil Dead 2 room. It's not long left. It's really awesome. Hourglassescapes.com. Book your ticket. Of course, on there you can book gift vouchers for friends and family. Don't do rubbish, boring stuff from Amazon this year. Support scare stuff. Support escape rooms, and go and check it out at hourglassescapes.com. In our show notes below, there'll be links for the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook pages, so you can go and follow, like, subscribe, just do anything you can to support this industry. And I want to end the episode by one, telling you guys to realize that we are 8 hours in front of Seattle, okay? So if you are booking it, make sure you are getting your time zones correctly. And to end it, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. It's been awesome.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, man. Had a great time.
Definitely. The main thing now, stay safe, stay secure, and have a great Christmas, buddy.
You too, guys. Enjoy.
Yeah. We'll try our best.
We'll give it a go in this weird, crazy year.
Good old British try.
We will. Awesome. There we go.
Keep the lamp on.
I'll keep the lamp on. Guys, keep the lamp on. What a perfect way to end the episode.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the ScareTrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
And there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Jeff for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast. Really, really do appreciate chatting. And also thank you for giving us an awesome time when we were experiencing Evil Dead 2, the escape game by Hourglass Escapes. Honestly, guys, I said it in the intro, I said it in the interview, and I'm saying it now. Go check it out. You know, it really, really was fun. It was immersive. It was spooky. It was entertaining. It really, really was fun. You can go online now, click on their website, the link's below. You can either book a game for yourself, or you can get a gift certificate for members of your family, maybe friends. It's a perfect idea for Christmas, and it doesn't have to be this one. Obviously, if you do Hourglass Escapes and love it, fantastic. But now is the time to support the industry, support haunts, support escape rooms. If you can get gift vouchers, if you can get anything like that for Christmas, moving into the new year, it really will help these businesses get through these really, really tough and dark times. Also, a huge thank you to Dan as well from UK Haunters for joining us here on this episode of Scare Track. And thank you to you guys for listening. As always, we sincerely do appreciate it. If you're listening and you're not yet following us on social media, make sure you're joining in the fun. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. We've been having loads of fun on there. This last week has been Performers Week on our Instagram page. So everyone who is a performer, if you're a fire eater or a dancer or any sort of performance artist, maybe you're a juggler, then we've been sharing all your pictures and videos over on our story on Instagram. We've done it for MUAs and special effects artists. We've done Scare Actors Week. We're always having loads and loads of fun over on our social media. So like I say, go and check us out. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. You can find everything Scare Track related over on our website too, www.scaretrack.co.uk, where you can check out every episode, every scare cam over on our YouTube channel, all our merchandise, absolutely everything at scaretrack.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, folks.